Welcome to the Mastermind Your Launch podcast, broadcasting live on Business Radio X. Your place for weekly entrepreneurial lessons from Atlanta's most inspiring technology startups. And now your host, Stephanie Diaz.
Hello, hello, everyone. We are broadcasting live from the Roswell Infinity Studios at North Point Executive Suites. You're listening to Mastermind Your Launch on Business Radio X, and my name is Stephanie Diaz. A little bit about Mastermind Your Launch. We're all about empowering entrepreneurs and accelerating their success by creating a brand that they're proud of and leveraging online marketing, which is one reason I'm super excited for today's guests, because social media is a huge part of online marketing, and they are bringing some pretty cool things to the social media space. Please welcome Jonathan Hessing, Austin Schmidt, and Zunair Ukani of Shouty Live. Welcome, guys.
Hello, hello.
Hey, great to be here.
How are you?
I'm doing awesome. How are you guys?
Fantastic. Fantastic.
Love it.
High energy today.
That's right. Yeah, we're going to bring it. Okay, really quick, why don't we take some time, each one of you introduce yourself, say your name and a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, awesome. I'm Jonathan Hessing, one of the co-founders of Shouty, which is now Shouty Live. I would say to say about myself, you know, I was fortunate enough to find this team. We're very committed, very passionate, and you know, it's cool that we get to wake up and do what we love and pursue what we love on a consistent basis. We're not necessarily tied to money. We're more tied to freedom and happiness. So that's kind of what I like to focus on a lot, and that's probably my main mindset.
Love it. We'll dive into that for sure.
My name's Austin Schmidt. I'm also a co-founder and the CEO of Shouty Live. I'll definitely say, to kind of go off what Jonathan said, it definitely is rare to find what we have together. You know, we're more of a family than we are business partners. You know, I consider these guys brothers, and that's the best part about this. Definitely something we're all passionate about, and that's really rare to find. So, yeah.
Super rare. And you guys are so young to have created, you know, a career where, that allows you to have this experience. So I hope you know how blessed you are.
Yeah.
All right.
Definitely. I'm Zunair Ukani, co-founder and CFO. I kind of came on after Jonathan and Austin got the idea. I actually had my own startup, just kind of let it go for this opportunity. And I'm really thankful to be on board. They had the same mindset as me, creating something and, you know, just going with it. So really, really, really happy to be here with you guys.
I love it. Well, and for the listeners, you know, I first connected with you guys when you did your demo at Startup Village. And what was really cool to me when you, you know, showed off Shouty at that point, you guys had just gone live in the App Store at that point, was how it really combined, for me, kind of, it was like Twitter meets Snapchat in a new way to capture event experiences and for people to curate that content and really, you know, bring it all together. I know you guys have taken a little bit of a pivot since then. Why don't you share for the listeners what Shouty Live is all about?
Yeah, so we'll just dive into that real quick. Be brief on it because we're in production stages right now. We were very fortunate to just lock in a CTO, Richard Ostreicher. Shout out to you.
Shout out to you.
He's got a lot of experience. He's raised a lot of money. He's from Atlanta. Just what we needed. And so where we're going with this new pivot is we're keeping that original idea of Shouty, capturing the atmosphere from multiple perspectives. But, you know, we were kind of faced with a decision. And when you see the future, you can either progress with it or resist it, right? And so the future of media as we perceive it is going into live streaming. And so we decided, you know, we could stay in the field of static, which is you take a picture, you take a video, and then submit it, or we really get, you know, delve into the field of live streaming. And so we decided that we were going to make this whole new business model that gives everybody jobs, a shared economy, if you're familiar with that term, kind of like the Uber or Airbnb work when you want type model for content creators. And on the viewer side, it would be a hub, a big network of different live streams that cater to your direct preferences. And so you'd be able to see concerts, sporting events, stuff you can't see on TV that's not $1 million productions, but more quick on the go type of media.
Yeah.
You killed that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So from what I remember, tell me if this is still kind of a part of the platform. So let's say there's a concert going on. Someone creates that event or that event is created, and then anyone can add to that event with their own live stream content. Is that correct?
So on the last one, it was like that, but now we wanted an opportunity for people to make money. It's anyone who is an approved Shouty streamer, which would be the equivalent to an Uber driver. You have to have an approved certain device to capture quality content.
Rock on. Okay, so what are the qualifications to be approved as a content creator?
So it'd be like iPhone 6 Plus. The device is the main attribute in which will be, you know, the verification process.
Requirements.
Yeah. We want to also include 360 cameras, drones, you know, anything that can give you that abstract, you know, obsolete image, still capturing the whole atmosphere. So it's really about the devices and, you know, and by the person, it'll be a ranking system as well. So you'll be able to follow the perspectives of some of your favorite streamers, or if you're following an event, you'll be able to see it based upon what streamers have the highest ratings.
And as technology develops, I mean, you know, who knows what else will be out there that we can latch onto other devices. So,
and you're saying that these people will be compensated for their content?
Correct. Exactly.
Yeah. So talk to me about that.
So essentially it would be like a model where you get paid for how much content you get. So if you know, you could get your tickets reimbursed for going to events if you get enough viewership on your content. And then on the viewer side, we're working on the monetization models to most effectively and efficiently bring in money without hindering the user experience. Because if you remember from Shouty, that's our mantra. That was our big one thing, is how do we monetize in a way that what we call pro-millennial or millennial-friendly way that doesn't hinder the end user. And so that's our main focus and our whole monetization and our whole expansion. It's, you know, our real focus is how do we monetize, market, and expand in a way that doesn't necessarily make anyone mad, doesn't hinder. Because with every screen you press on, you're losing a certain amount of users at every screen.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we mitigate that throughout our whole business?
I love it. Well, and this reminds me of a few episodes ago, a company called Yaystack, which did they present at
the same night?
Yeah. Oh, that's so funny.
Night.
Okay, so yeah. So Trey was on the show. Actually, couple months before even that night. But, you know, this whole concept of, you know, there is value in the relationships that you have within your own network. And,
absolutely,
you know, yeah. And so how do we, you know, kind of put a value on that and allow you to get compensated for, you know, the value that you've already built, the reputation, you know, if you're endorsing a concert, if you're endorsing a product, you know, how do you start to bring that down to like the consumer level? So I love that you guys are putting that as a part of your platform.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Absolutely.
Good. Let's talk just about the inspiration for Shouty in the first place. Let's go back there. What's that story?
So it really, the idea of Shouty came in 2013. I don't know. Are you a football fan? College football?
A little bit.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah. I could go to a game.
There you go. 2013, Alabama played Auburn. Alabama kicked a field goal and whiffed it, and Auburn caught it and returned it the whole length of the field for a touchdown. Last second of the game, the whole bar we were at went nuts. And all we could think about was, what's it like in Tuscaloosa, or what's it like at Toomer's Corner where Auburn is? And there was no content on any social platforms. This was before Snapchat was doing live updates. There was no content on what the atmosphere of the sporting event was like. So we decided we were going to make an app that captured the atmosphere of events. And as we've just evolved and pivoted, we've been pulled more towards Shouty Live. And it's really just been an evolution process, to say the least, of all our networks, all our resources, a conglomerate of all advice we've been given, everything we've learned, all the research we've done has just evolved us from that moment to go into Shouty Live and progress with the future, as I mentioned earlier.
So were you all friends? So you're in college in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
What college?
Kennesaw State.
Okay. And
Kennesaw State, yeah.
All three of us
all
from Kennesaw. Yeah.
Okay. So
Who else?
Who do you?
So you're in college and you get this idea for a new type of social media, you know, platform. What gives you the courage to actually take action on that idea?
Well, we've always been go-getters. Like, between the three of us, we were all in the same fraternity in college. And between the three of us, we had, 13 leadership positions. Mm-hmm. So we've all been, like, the go-getters and creating something new and trying to innovate and, you know, do anything to progress our organization. So as soon as we had this idea, we immediately went to work. But the problem was, we didn't have any technology background. We're all business majors. So what do? We try to find someone to build the app for us. So we pulled constant all-nighters, anything to keep ourselves motivated, to go along with schoolwork, having jobs, to stay alive. It was definitely difficult, but we did a good job keeping ourselves motivated, putting ourselves in the right situations, meeting the right people, going to all the tech villages around here and trying to meet as many people as we could and just stay motivated with it.
I love it.
Yeah.
So you started to build a community. You had the business background. You knew you needed the tech. So you started to build a lot of
learning we had to do.
Tech network. What were some of the first places that you went to start kind of gaining more tech contacts? And
absolutely,
like that.
The Atlanta Tech Village.
Yeah.
For 4 months straight, on Friday, each one of us every Friday on our lunch breaks at work, we would leave once.
Chowdown.
And we would go to the Chowdown every Friday. Because like you said, we had no tech background. We have no tech network. We didn't know anyone in the tech community. No one at Kennesaw. There's no technology majors at Kennesaw until they acquired Southern Poly.
Right.
But that was only 2 years ago, you know, pre this or post this idea. So we went down there every lunch or every Friday on our lunch break and just built and built and built. And finally, one network, you know, spawned out to a third degree. And that third degree became our advisor. She helped us construct our business plan. And I think the first time we pitched after she helped us with that business plan, we raised our initial funding.
Yeah.
Rock on. And what's that been like, going out and pitching your own idea?
It's cool. I mean, I love it. It's
surreal.
It's an evolution really process, yeah, for sure.
It is. It's cool because the people, you know, you assume that people know what you're talking about. And when they ask you questions and they're truly intrigued and they don't know as in depth, maybe they know surface of what you're talking about, but they don't know the depth of it. It's fun to kind of teach them because you're not, when you pitch, you're not necessarily going just to ask for money. You're going to make cause awareness. And if the awareness is correct and the energy is right, then it progresses to the next level. So it's really fun because every time we pitch, we learn more about ourselves and more about our company. And it's just a fun experience every time. And I think, you know, on our way up here, we were coming from a meeting in Atlanta and we stopped by the river over in Alpharetta. You know, we were just talking. It's just like a lot of like energy. It was like, that's like the main important thing is the overall energy of the situation. And that's where pitching is like, it's like you practice and that's like game time.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. I want to come back to energy. Because you and I have had some conversations offline about that. So we'll definitely come back to that. But I want to stay on like the pitching because what you guys are doing is so forward in the social media space. And I would think that maybe sometimes when you're out talking about what you do, I mean, someone would have to really know about what's already out there, the Snapchat, you know, just, and maybe you're meeting some people that aren't even there yet. So how do you talk to them about the next big thing in social media? Have you had like that challenge where some people just, you really have to bring up their awareness on the social media game right now to let them see the potential of what you're doing?
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of the older investors here aren't necessarily as savvy with technology.
They're not all on Snapchat and doing Instagram stories?
Absolutely. Not even close, honestly. Like a lot of them, you know, they're just understanding what Twitter does. And, you know, Twitter's Twitter. But, you know, as that kind of dies down for the millennials, it's kind of becoming, you know, a bigger component of the other, you know, older generations. And it's like they're just a little behind on all the social media and all the media, and they don't understand its true aggressiveness that it has on the minds as far as marketing and expansion of ideas or content creation and self-promotion. You know, social media was a way for everybody to not just have facts at their fingertips, but opinions, see what's going on around the world. And I don't think that, you know, we've been, how old were you guys when you got cell phones?
Eighth grade,
15, eighth, seventh grade.
We see, we've had phones since as long as we can remember. You know, we've grew up, we've been around, you know, we use these things within their first couple of years. We're acclimated to it. And so, you know, it's really, the tough part is portraying our in-depth understanding and usability to this older crowd who doesn't necessarily understand the sustainability in marketing on social platforms.
Right. And I mean, I think it's just that lifestyle too. I mean, it's such a part of your daily life. Mm. It's one of the first things that you check in the morning, like who did. And it's funny, I remember for me, it was MySpace. That was like the first. Okay. Thank God I set up my account. It was finals week of my senior year, which was good and bad because when I was procrastinating on studying for my finals, I was on MySpace. But luckily, I hadn't, like, it didn't disrupt my entire college career, just a couple of days in finals week there at the end. But I remember when, like, then Facebook came out and I started thinking, who would have more than one social media thing? Like, these other people were coming out, Twitter, and I'm like, no one's going to have multiple accounts. And now I check multiple accounts every day. It's not a big deal. So knowing how that can fit in to someone's lifestyle and that it, you know, that people are more ready to adopt new platforms these days is huge.
Right. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And it's portraying that understanding to the older generation where it's like, that's our, like, we see that as our job. We, to be able to get the funding, we have to be the bridge from understanding to, you know, misperception.
Mm-hmm.
So it's challenging, but it's fun. And you learn, everyone is a learning experience. You learn how to curate towards, you know, a certain type of investor or a certain type of partner or a group or demographic. And you learn how to kind of refine your pitch, refine your company, and who knows, maybe you evolve some new ideas after every pitch.
Oh yeah, I would imagine so. That's absolutely. For everyone. Yeah, yeah, for sure. As millennials kind of using this, and you have obviously a great peer network, you know, you're still pretty close. You have your fraternity and your college networks that you can start to have conversations with your ideal, you know, customer about what they want and what they need. How have those conversations helped you to create the product that you have today or what you're working on?
Well, it's mainly, we see on Snapchat and we see everyone going to these events and everyone posting about these events, and it's all scattered out and you don't know who's going where, who's really where. And so we really figured, and we've talked to a lot of people about this in our age group, about the curation of content to one stream to where they can see a concert if they can't make it. You know, because that's a big problem is that, you know, for instance, these two are going to a concert in like May and I can't make it to the concert and I would love to see it, but I can't.
What's the concert? We have to know.
Hangout Music Festival.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a conglomerate of concerts.
Yeah. Got it. Okay.
And so we really are starting to see the need for this because people complain about, oh, I wish I could be there. Well, now you can be there.
Right.
You know, we really want to grab that energy, the atmosphere. It's like a ritual when you go to a sporting event. Like you only feel the energy if you're in the stands, and now we're giving you a chance to be in the stands, you know? And so it's really hit home for a lot of people because they can actually, you know, relate to it, you know, to where they've missed out on an event and now they can actually come back to the event and see whatever they want at any time.
I mean, it also solidifies with us because we are the target market as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want that.
Right. Well, and what I love about, you know, the angle that you guys come at it from is a lot of platforms are driven by who you're already connected to. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. I mean, if I know that you guys are going to the show, I can follow you. But
exactly.
What about all of the other people that are out there creating content? And I'm not their friend and I don't want to be their friend and follow them forever. But they might have the point of view at this show or at this other event that I want to see. So I love how you guys, you know, kind of get rid of, you know, it's not about friends. It's just about the people at that event and allowing that
the
space
atmosphere.
For that.
Yeah. The experience. Yeah.
Right.
Experience is the big word.
Yep.
Experience. Yeah.
And the best part about it is that you can actually build your brand on the app to where, you know, I might have 50-yard line seats to the Falcons game like every Sunday, you know, and people can follow me knowing that I have 50-yard line seats every Sunday. And now I've built a brand in myself to where I have like 5,000 people watching my stream every single Sunday at the Falcons game.
Super exciting. Then you add in that compensation element.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay. And you have a full working ecosystem. And so that's what we're excited about. And I mean, just to bring in more on that, you know, at a music festival, imagine picking the stage of the performer you want to watch, because there's usually three stages at a time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe you only care about the guy on stage one and not the band on stage three. You have the ability to pick what stage you want to watch. On the football field, you'll be able to pick, do you want to watch it from the end zone or the 50-yard line? Instead of just giving the few camera views that, you know, ESPN or Fox will give you, you get whatever angle you should so choose to watch.
Wow. So could be super disruptive to some other media channels.
It's going
to
be very disruptive.
Yeah, that's what you guys are banking on. Yeah. Good. Okay. So you talked about experience. Let's go back to energy.
Okay.
All right.
The good vibes. The
best I know. One. Let's bring it. You know, I really love it. Entrepreneurship for me has been as much an inner journey as it has been like strategic and executing on, you know, on tactics.
100%.
Absolutely.
And I really see, you know, in the people that I see succeed and fail, you know, from the outside, you can tell who's, you know, where their mindset is at. Who is approaching something from a place of faith or a place of fear. You know, those people that are questioning everything that they do, second guessing themselves at every turn. When you and I had the opportunity to have a conversation, you mentioned some things. I was like, he gets it. I love it. Okay. And I'm so thankful that you're, you know, willing to open up here on the show because I love being able to bring this out for the listeners. So why don't you talk a little bit about energy?
Oh, we can be here all day.
All right. Let's do
it. How much time you got?
Yeah. All afternoon.
Well, I guess it would, you know, how we both found that individualism or that energy that we can make by confidence was all separate. But I think what it all comes down to is, you know, intention and confidence. You know, the intention is the underlier. That's what all your actions are going to be caused from. That's the cause. And then your confidence is in turn the effect. And when you kind of have that mentality, that ties back into the law of attraction. Anyone out there, watch The Secret on Netflix. It'll change your life. But like stuff like that, where you really get in the mindset of positivity and, you know, manifesting not just emotions, but more physical reality too. You know, I would say when we first started this, I don't know that we could have made it where we were, but I do know at one point in this journey, I decided we are going to make this. We are going to do this. And since then, you know, whether it's something we're pursuing or not, something that comes flying out of left field, you know, a universal gift, as we call it, it gets thrown at us. And it's like, how could this not be a testimony to, if you stay consistent and are confident in what you're doing, that there will be some kind of universal reciprocation.
Right.
And so that's the hammer on the head.
That
you guys
was beautiful.
Yeah.
That was beautiful.
Tears are being shed.
This is deep.
Yeah. No, and what, I mean, for me, it doesn't mean that you're not going to have challenges, because you're going to have challenges. The universe is going to put something in your path to make sure that, especially when it's a big goal, you have to work for it. And are you ready? And are you,
absolutely,
you know, where is your faith at? But it's sticking to that. It's not allowing that to waver.
Mm-hmm. It's about staying positive, because, I mean, life as an entrepreneur, things are going to go wrong. But when you fail, it's not a failure. Like when it's you fail, it doesn't mean that you're a failure or your company's a failure. It just means you have to get past that, stay positive, and go back to the drawing board, figure out what went wrong, and, you know, act on it. And that's the best part about it.
Yeah.
Well, and sometimes it's actually a guardrail. It's actually a blessing in disguise,
yeah,
leading you
absolutely
to something, you know, even mm-hmm better. Mm-hmm. I mean, you guys have experienced that with a pivot. I'm sure it was probably hard to let go of that initial concept of what Shouty was,
yeah,
to say, you know, it's got to go somewhere else. I mean, what would you say about that?
It has to do with acceptance. I think you just have to accept things as they are. For me, it starts with the vocabulary. Like you said, mentioned fear. If you reroute that to just being a challenge, you can just overcome anything that you put your mind to.
I was just going to say, as long as you beat fear and don't let it beat you, I think Winston Churchill said that the only thing to fear is fear itself.
Yep.
And I think that is 110% true. There is nothing in this world to be scared of or fear at all, except for fear.
I'd love to go down the line and see if you all would share maybe like a daily practice that you have that kind of keeps you in the right mindset.
We might all say the same thing.
We are the same thing.
Well, we all wake up and meditate every morning, sometimes together, sometimes individually, but it's something we do every single day. When we had a team, you know, when we were working every day with our team of 15, every Monday we started off with our morning meeting, and every Friday we ended the week with our morning meeting. And the morning meeting was non-business related. It was, we all would go around in a circle and we would say what we're thankful for, because being gratuitous is the number one thing. Like, that is so important, because how could you progress if you're not appreciative for what you've already have and what's already coming? So, you know, we made it part of our culture to be gratuitous in every beginning of every week and ending of every week. And then after that, everyone goes around and states their personal goal. If it's on Monday, personal goal for the week, again, non-business related. And if it's on Friday, personal goal going into the weekend, whether it be go to the gym twice or, you know, try and eat healthier. Those are really a lot of the common ones.
Yeah. It's a great way to start the day positively.
Absolutely, yeah.
Get the energy flowing real good.
Right.
So that's, I would say, meditation. But as far as personal practices, I really think it comes down to, have you heard of binaural beats?
Yes.
Yeah. So like binaural beats and like meditation music, like just consistently, like that's what I have in my earbuds, or podcasts or hip hop music. But, you know, that's the majority of what I listen to, and it keeps my brain relaxed. And when you're relaxed, you're not manifesting stress. You're moving towards what you want to be, or where the energy is taking you. And you could truly let the energy take you when you're relaxed and in that subconscious state of mind.
For someone who's out there and they're like, gosh, I've tried meditating and it's just not, I just can't get into it. Do you have any advice? Like, how long do you guys meditate for? Share some tips on that.
I do, I guess, a smaller form of meditation thanks to my Apple Watch. It's a breath app, and all it does is just take a deep breath. It just, don't focus on anything but your breaths. And it kind of just puts me at a reset, because sometimes I'll feel stressful on something I'm working on. I'm just like, all right, Zunair, relax. Just take a deep breath. Take a deep breath a couple times, then it clears my mind.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can't meditate, then I feel like that's a good way to start.
Yeah. Meditation can be anywhere from 10 seconds to 20 minutes. You know, it's just based on the person.
Zunair actually had a really good quote last night. He said, you want to say it?
Oh, which one were you talking about?
The one that
he always has.
In strictly regards to meditation, he said, disconnect to connect.
Ooh,
and that's,
I like that.
That's 100% true. You gotta completely disconnect. Like, the reason people can't meditate is because they're worrying or they're too connected to something.
Yeah.
Exactly. The whole point of meditation is to let it all go.
Right.
And that's why he said, focus on your breathing. So if anything, like that's the thing to take away about the meditation is focus on your breathing in through your nose, out through your mouth, you know, do your research, you know, however many seconds, start like playing with things and see what works for you. Go to YouTube and type in guided meditation, positive energy meditation. Apple Music has meditations. There's a bunch of different resources that can be utilized. So I think if someone has trouble meditation, they just need to work on learning how to do it better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that disconnect to connect because, I mean, so many people, they're like trying to be out there looking for the mm-hmm. answers. And yep. the truth is, you already have the answers.
Absolutely.
You probably know everything Absolutely. That you need to know. You know everyone that you need to know to at least take your best next step. But our minds are always going and, you know, just chatter, chatter, chatter. And so it's about silencing that so you can tap into what you already know. I'll share every morning I do the 6-phase meditation. It comes from the Code of the Extraordinary Mind. Okay. And I'll try and remember the 6 phases. You start with compassion, then gratitude, forgiveness, visualizing your long-term goals, visualizing your day, and then end with a blessing. You know, just
I like that.
Cool.
Yeah.
I like that, yeah.
It's yeah. And sometimes it takes 5 minutes, sometimes it's 20, but it varies. But it kind of takes you through, you know, so you kind of cover all your bases yep. there. Yeah. Excellent. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. I know for me, you know, spirituality has been so much a part. Like I've experienced as much growth mm-hmm. in my spiritual life as I have in my career over the last 2 years. So, and I love connecting to people that are kind of on that wavelength.
That That's wavelength, awesome. Yeah. I mean, mind, body, spirit, it's definitely yeah. super important.
Mm-hmm.
Weirdly enough, I think this the energy has attracted us to come together. So.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, well, and gosh, I mean, now we could really like it.
Yeah. We are physical embodiments of energy that just brought together.
Right. Well, and the more that you kind of live in that vibration, the more protected you are to attract more people that are on that level.
Wavelength.
And then also, you know, the people that are just not there, you know, they just kind of don't come as often. So that's good.
Well, I don't think it's that they're not there. I think it's, you know, it's a matter of focus, like, or intention, if you will. I think life is just an ever-changing is just ever-changing phases and perspectives. And the kind of energy that you manifest around you is just contingent upon where your specific energy is focusing. So it may be one perspective or one phase right now, but that could manifest a whole nother kind of energy or new people around you. So I don't think it's a matter of getting it or not. I think it's a matter of walking down separate paths with no right or wrong path. And whatever kind of energy wants to follow you down that path is what will.
Mm-hmm. Right. I love it. We'll go back into the business stuff. I know, boo. What has you most excited about Shouty Live today?
I'm not going to sound cliche. This is how I'm just started. Making a difference in a vast way, in a way that gives anybody not a chance to necessarily quit their job and go to a new job, but make some money doing entertainment, you know, or content creating for entertainment on the side. You know, I believe we're moving into a world that's going to be very abundant with technology. To the point where humanity kind of is going to be, you know, entertainment's going to be one of the biggest industries because that's all made up of human elements, right? So that's going to be a huge market. And, you know, we're giving people the ability to get in there and start, you know, making money for themselves and really enjoying this new entertainment market that's only growing, especially here in Atlanta.
And what's the timeline? I mean, you guys are kind of working on developing the pivot now. So when do you see this coming to market?
Hopefully we'll have an MVP by around May.
Okay.
May to June. But then we have beta testing and we want to really focus on being efficient. So
rock on.
We made the last company. We built a crazy good company. We built a huge brand and the product didn't necessarily match the pace of the company we built. And we have the company ready to go. We know we have all the partners, everything's lined up and ready to go. It's just a matter of getting the product to the quality of our company. And so that's what we're going to be focusing on with the next few months. And that's why we were very fortunate to bring Richard in as our CTO. He's kind of our fourth wing. We also have another gentleman named Corbett who's been in streaming for a very long time. So shout out to Corbett Gilliam.
Love it. Well, and you guys are definitely invited to come back when you guys are ready to release. We'll have another show update and let people
Sounds
know.
Good.
Yeah,
that
they need
awesome.
To download. Is there anywhere that they can follow you now in the meantime?
Yeah, all of our social accounts at SupShouty. SUPSHOUTY.
Hashtag millennials.
Hey, we know
hashtag
the market.
Shoddy,
I know,
baby.
And proud. Yeah.
I think that's one cool thing, you know, just to say one more thing. Like, that's one cool thing about us is we're millennials who, you know, like, we are millennials, right? We understand the technology. We understand the trends. You know, we are that stereotype. But at the same time, we're taking a new turn. We're millennials who can sit down and do business with you at the table. You know, it's like that connotation is being kind of skewed because I'm sure you've heard the stereotypes of millennials, lazy, you know, egotistical, all that. But I think what it is just technologically advanced efficiency. Things that used to be done by hand, we now can do automated efficiently and mobily. So I think it's just, you know, the millennial thing is very important, but it's also one thing I want to make clear is the stereotype, like the connotation that comes with it. I don't think it's...
Preach.
Yeah. I speak for all you millennials. I don't think it's... It's laziness. I think it's technological efficiency. So
right.
Just wanted to throw that little...
Well, and then there's also, there's a different kind of passion that comes along with the millennial generation. And it's really exciting to see, you know, people like yourselves that are channeling that passion and your tech savviness and everything into something really positive and creative, innovative, and that you're, you know, bringing it out. So best of luck to you guys over the next few months. Really quick, we're going to go down the line. Piece of advice or a lesson learned in your entrepreneurial journey that you want to turn around and share with the listeners.
Okay.
So name and advice?
Yeah, name and advice.
All right. Jonathan Hessing. And my advice would be don't ready fire or ready aim fire. Ready fire aim. Don't worry about aiming. Just shoot. Jump in the deep end and learn how to swim. Throw yourself into opportunities. And, you know, if you make it, you make it. But no one ever scored a point sitting on the bench.
Damn, you took one.
That was beautiful. Austin Schmidt. And like I said earlier, just stay positive in everything you do. Life as an entrepreneur is like a UFC fighter. You know, they have a bunch of losses, but Conor McGregor has like 5 losses and he's one of the best fighters out there. Don't think when you fail, it's a failure. So just keep going. Stay positive.
Zuneri, Connie, I don't think there's a such thing as a loss because from every quote unquote loss, there's a win and that's learning. And that is going to be your biggest friend for going up wherever you are.
Love it. Well, guys, thank you so much. I think we raised the vibration in this room for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So thank you for being here.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Thank you for having us.
Pleasure.
Thank you to the listeners. And remember that today is a great day to face forward and mastermind your launch.